Let's open our Bibles. And God willing, tonight, we are going to wrap up the Companies in Heaven story, a series, I should say. And in that, tonight, we're going to visit the 144,000. We're going to visit the two witnesses. And God willing, we'll visit as well the souls under the altar. So we've had the 24 elders, we've had the four living ones, we've had the innumerable multitude, and these are the next three that will follow and complete this study tonight. And it was sweet because as I told a brother, I do not believe that I had ever been so saturated in a study before, especially this last week. My eyes are still blurry. My heart's still blurry. It was just like going at a warp, I don't know, but just that the Lord just had such a me in a corner with exactly what he wanted to have. And yet with all of this, which we could never exhaust, we know that, but God told me very divinely to give these three studies out at this time. Is there a little hum over there, brother? There's a little hum on that side, brother. I don't know if you can hear that. But he told me to give these studies at this time together, and very sovereignly told me, well, honey, it's important to know the Word of God and these things, but I don't want you to get caught up too much into some few companies that you'll never be a part of. So I said, thank you, Lord, and I'll take that from him. But we do want to know, praise God, of this precious word. If that's bothering too much, honeys, I would encourage you to come on over to this if it is. It's this one right there? Okay. Okay, the big one. All right. It's just a low hum. It'll be like background music for us tonight. Okay. So, let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. And we'll begin reading from the first verse. That's Revelation 14. And it says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Praise God for the lamb. Having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. How wonderful. Now, brothers and sisters, in chapter 7, these 144,000 are first introduced to us, and it is that same company. These are the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes that receive the message of Jesus Christ, my Savior, from the two witnesses that we'll get to tonight as well, too. They accept Christ, and praise be to God, in this 14th chapter, we see this precious company in heaven with Christ. And as we will see as we study this, their rank is similar in a sense. It's similar. Obviously, they're a separate company. They have a separate purpose to God and to the Lord. But their rank is similar to that of the innumerable multitude, because if you do go over to Revelation chapter 7, and if you just kind of go over there with me, we won't read the whole thing, but in verse 3, it says of these 144,000, when they are still on the earth and the Lord is protecting them so from harm, because there's much harm that's want to be put upon them. Matter of fact, they're trying to be killed. We see a foreshadow of that with all of the Arab nations around Israel at this time right now. But they say, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And the reason I point that out is it says the servants of our God. If you go back over, if you go over just a few verses, if you remember the innumerable multitude, because this is the same chapter that they're shown up in heaven, it says in the 15th verse of this same chapter that the innumerable multitude serves the Lord, serves him day and night in his temple. So we see that this company is a serving. Again, where we know that the worshiper typed in Mary had the better part. Remember, she was the worshiper sitting at the feet of Jesus, and there was Martha serving. And as the Lord told Martha, Martha, don't bother Mary. She has chosen the better part. So this same precious truth to us, brothers and sisters, goes forth. We want to be found in him, the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. And that worshiping will go on in that company as the four living ones are, the ones that worship him, praise God, as we see that company each time. But getting back to the thought of the 144,000, we know that in this serving, brothers and sisters, which is a wonderful thing, it still represents the amount of knowledge of the love of God that was received. And that's where I really want to emphasize this tonight. When you worship the Lord, I mean really worship the Lord, we know that that word means to draw nigh in fervent love as to kiss him. That's great love to take in. When you realize Christ Jesus loves you in that matter and in that amount of love. We're talking heights, depths, lengths, breadths, everything that you can't even measure in a sense because there's no end to it, but yet we know it. And how do we know it? We know it by faith. We know it by his spirit. We know it because of the one, the Holy Ghost, who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our hearts. That's why, again, that there's no way that anybody could have ever entered into this bridal relationship with Jesus Christ without the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It cannot happen. That love and that amount of love of the knowledge of the love of Christ could never be revealed, could never be instilled and grown up in us without the Holy Ghost. So we know that this company, praise God, of the four living ones, it could only begin to be assembled after Pentecost, and then after Pentecost and after Paul's gospel, because it takes that gospel, brothers and sisters, to grow us up into him in all things. Amen. So these are things, praise God, as we go along to take from this. So we thank God that this bridal love that's given to us, we're taking it all by his grace. Now, as you look back at the 14th chapter of Revelation, you see here that the 144,000, we read that they're standing with the Lord on Mount Zion. And Zion, once you get into the New Testament, it means the dwelling place of God. And praise God, I also love how, and always think of this, you know, you hear of this often, the mark of the beast. See, when the enemy puts a mark on you, I mean something on you, it's a mark. But when God puts on something on you, he writes it on you. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's the written word of God. I love it's his hand. It's so personal. It's so precious. But this is what's so divine here is he writes upon their foreheads. And in the Greek, you should make note of this, in that first verse of the 14th chapter, it's not only having his father's name written in their foreheads, it actually says in the Greek, it's the father's name and the son's name that are written in their foreheads. And I thank the Lord to know that because they'd have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, this is a precious company that means so much to the Father, but I am so grateful to God that we know that they cannot go to the Father but by the Son. You cannot enter into that without the blood, praise his name. So, we're thankful at this time because I want us to understand at this time that the 144,000 are taken up into heaven, the tribulation has went on for 1,260 days. So we're getting almost to the middle of that 7-year period of time. And once we hit the middle of that 7-year period of time, we know that that's when the great tribulation part part of the tribulation begins. And you talk about suffering. It started at the beginning of the 7 years, but I'll tell you what, again, you hadn't seen nothing yet. Because that's going to be a time when people seek death. They will not find it. They'll cry for rocks to fall on them. There'll be, it says in the word, and I'm not trying to be graphic, but even the moms will eat their babies. It will be a time that will be very fierce. Remember, this will be a time when the devil goes out like a roaring lion. We have signs and types of that at certain times, but the devil has not gone fully forth. As of yet, God is still withholding that. And praise be to God, I can see some that are hindering out here tonight, as the word of God says, until he that hinders is taken out of the way, until that brighter company is taken up into heaven, that the devil will not go forth in the full establishment that God will allow at that time. But see, it's still a turbulent time. The devil is going forth as a roaring lion, and he's prowling through here, and he wants to destroy anything and everything that has a profession of Christ. This is why God, speaking of these 144,000, in Revelation 12, 5 and 6, it says that God has to hide them in the wilderness. It's like a woman giving birth to a child, and when that child is born, obviously that's when Christ Jesus here in the 14th chapter raises up that 144,000 and takes them into heaven. Now, let's speak of these 144,000 for a minute. These are Jews. And these are Jews, brothers and sisters, that receive the preaching and the witnessing of the two witnesses that Christ Jesus is their Savior. And they receive this, brothers and sisters, at the time of the tribulation. So in that 7 year beginning period of time, they're witnessed the Lord by these ones that the Lord gives them. And I want us to turn now to Revelation 11, and now we'll talk a little bit about these two witnesses that are witnessing the word of God to the 144,000, and obviously as well to others that might be hearing things at this time, because we do know that people are going to be saved throughout the tribulation, but obviously we're thinking of these two witnesses and the power that's given to them to give forth the word of God during the first part of the 7 year tribulation time. And in the third verse of the 11th chapter, it says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200, and can you imagine, 60 days, clothed in sackcloth. There are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Isn't it amazing the power that the Lord gives them? And you can imagine how they're sought to be killed and destroyed. But God divinely will not let them be touched. And I'll tell you what, they'll hate them, but they'll fear them. And they won't fear him in a sense because of God, because they're so defiant, because they know even when he is God, they still won't. It just makes them more incensed and hateful to God. That's how rooted in satanic things these men and women will get against the things of God. And brothers and sisters, we're seeing that right now. You know that. We're seeing that. The belligerence of people and how they want to just be so ugly against Christ Jesus. God in his great grace is telling people, wake up, especially to his people, wake up. Don't sleep through this. I told you these things will come. And he gives us these signs and he gives us these types. And we are so without excuse. And the Lord help us to not be slothful and to be sleeping through this thing. This is an exciting time. But it says there now, going back to the sixth verse, these two have power to shut heaven, and it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. I'll tell you what, man, that'd be, praise God, we're going to see these things happening in heaven. I'm confident that we'll rejoice as these things go forth. Won't it be something to see? Oh my goodness, praise his name. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. See how it's all right there, isn't it? Amazing. You think how they just fight over that little strip of land over and over and over. I always remember that man said, you tell me that conflict and why it's been going on for that long and I'll stop believing in God. You know, he just said there's no other explanation why those people hate each other so much except for God. Yep, it's the truth, all right? So, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see the dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. See, that's how sick they are. They just want to go rejoice that they're dead and stamp on them and all that. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. I'll tell you what, the word of God sure bothered these folks, didn't it? You know people like that? I know a few. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Isn't that wonderful? Notice here, and I want you to really underline this as well too. These two witnesses ascended up to heaven. They are resurrected because they were dead. They were brought back to life and raptured, just as we will see in a moment. And these are important things that I'm just pointing out. Search the scriptures to make sure these things are so for yourself. And I mean that. Berean saints are the most precious. Seek it out. God, I believe by his grace, will stir some precious truth in your heart tonight for you to go and to meditate in spirit upon. But they ascended up into heaven, resurrected, raptured, just as we will see in a moment, brothers and sisters, that the souls under the altar, they also are resurrected and raptured up into heaven because they're standing, as we will see in a moment, on the sea of glass. They're on that sea that is in one place. It's before the throne up in heaven. So these are important things to just think about right now as the Lord will bring some things forth to us tonight that I believe he's put on my heart. I'm going to bring it out. The reason... that I'm emphasizing here for the moment, of all these companies that we're reading about here, every single company, whether it's the 24 elders, the four living ones, all the way through to the ones we're going to talk tonight, every single one of them, they are seen in heaven. Every one of them. They're in heaven. And if you want to say yes, there is a dwelling in heaven that each one of these companies have. Now, don't let it be something that's hard for you to understand. When you receive a body, a glorified body. Now, brothers and sisters, we've talked about this before as well too. A glorified body likened to his own glorious body. That body is going to be the body of the four living ones. That's going to be a body of a bridal saint. I'm talking about a body that is fully mature like Christ, just like his bride will be. You think about Jesus Christ himself, born a man. But was he born ready to be offered? No, he wasn't. He was a baby. And he grew, and all of those things had to come to pass. The perfect will of God had to be worked. And praise be to God, he was very man of very man, but also very God of very God. He could not fail. He could not sin. But there was a process of growth that had to happen. And he was not ready to be offered until he was 33 years old. And then the time had come. Now, in our growth as Christians, brothers and sisters, we grow from a baby spiritually, and we grow up. Well, we hope to. but we grow up in the word of his grace. Amen? Amen. And brothers and sisters, no matter who goes to heaven, you're going to have a glorified type of body. That body will be given to you. Now, we know that our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, he's omnipresent. It's not hard for him to be here, there, and everywhere, is it? Now, if we're going to be like him, why is that so hard to understand that I could be in heaven at a time, I could be on earth, I could be on every star? I'm omnipresent because I'm just like him. So again, we can get so finite in our little thinking, and he's so infinite, you got to knock it off. And I'm not trying to get into this too much, but all I can tell you is you're going to be like him. And even, praise God, if you're not completely, fully developed as that bridal one would be, just to imagine a body that would be glorified in heaven, even the youngest or the servant or whatever it is. My goodness, what can that body do beyond whatever I could ask or think? Okay? So I'm talking about that as we start to talk about all of these companies, praise God, are all seen in heaven. All right? Now, not only are they in heaven, but God talks about these different ones reigning in heaven. Obviously, the four living ones are going to rule and reign jointly with him in everything he does. But did you know that the four living ones and the 24 elders in Revelation 5:9, it says that they say, God has made us priests and kings, and we will reign upon the earth. Now, wait a second. I only thought a certain other company was going to reign upon the earth. No, they're going to reign upon the earth as well too. If they rule and reign jointly with Christ Jesus, doesn't Christ Jesus take the throne as God, and for a 1,000-year period of time during that millennium, he reigns upon the earth? Amen. He's reigning about, he's God, so he's reigning on everything. I want you to stay with this and think and let the mind of Christ encourage you in this. But brothers and sisters, because there's a point the Lord's going to make here in a minute. But the only earth dwellers that are solely earth dwellers, brothers and sisters, because you'll hear about in the Word of God about earth dwellers, they are going to be those that are saved after the innumerable multitude is taken. Okay, now stay with us on this one here too. And you can see, pray for me right now, because there's so much coming at me. I just want by his Spirit to give exactly what he wants. These are they that live through the tribulation. Now I want you to understand this as well too. There will be earth dwellers, or ones dwelling on the earth, that live into the millennium, that will have a feigned obedience to God. There will be wicked ones that will enter into the millennium, as well as those that will be saved and enter into the millennium at that time. How else do you think people could go on and still populate this earth? As it says in Matthew 24:22, it says, if God did not shorten the days of the tribulation or of that Armageddon time, there would be no flesh left upon the earth. So why does God want flesh to be left upon the earth to go into that time as earth-dwelling people, all right? So from the tribulation, there will be people that live through that. There will be people that live through that that are saved ones that live through that, and there will be ones that live through that that obviously just have some type of a feigned obedience, because at the end of the millennium, it talks about two sheep and goat nations and all of those things that will become before him. And if you go even to, what verse is that? Where is that in Isaiah? I thought I'd written it down here. Oh yes, Isaiah 65:20, where it talks about a child shall be 100 years old during the time of the millennium. It talks about the wicked dead dying during the millennium as well too. So know these things. It's all in there. And again, brothers and sisters, I don't want us to get bogged down in a sense, but these are some sweet things to understand here. So what the Lord is getting at here, that he's put it upon my heart, we need to distinguish as we look at these companies. There's a difference between reigning on earth, there's a difference between reigning in heaven, and then there's a difference that those that dwell only on the earth. Because, brothers and sisters, all of these companies that we're talking about, they're all seen in heaven. They're all resurrected. They're all raptured. I should say the 144,000 aren't resurrected because that's the only company that all of those saints, they don't die. They're living at the time. They're all just raptured, okay? But what, again, I'm getting at here is that they're in heaven, and yet there's companies, and their purposes are also to rule upon the earth and to reign upon the earth. So it's not something to be confused about. We know that the four living ones will rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ. But as I mentioned earlier, don't forget, Revelation 5:9 tells us that they'll also rule upon the earth. Just as the martyred saints of Revelation 20 that we're going to talk about, the saints under the altar, they're seen obviously in heaven, but they too will reign upon the earth. But they will not have the reigning of heaven and the exceeding riches of his grace that will be offered to the four living ones. But they are in heaven. They are dwelling in heaven, and they do dwell upon that crystal sea and under the throne in heaven. Now, when companies are seen in heaven, they dwell there too. That's what I want to really emphasize to you. As well if they're on earth, whereas the earth dwellers only dwell upon the earth. Those that escape the tribulation, the death of the tribulation, and go into the millennium, and who will have true obedience to God and live through that, and their descendants live through that thousand-year reign. Because you have to remember, too, during that millennial time, there will be, again, as we said, there will be ones that had a feigned obedience to God. They will be all dealt with by the end of that millennium, okay? That will be done. As it says that hell will give up the dead. Everyone that didn't have part in the first resurrection, they'll have to participate in that second death, which will be the death of the lake of fire. And those ones will be dealt with if they've lived that long. They will be dealt with that time, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. Now at that time, those saints that have lived through the millennium, they will just go on. The Bible doesn't tell us about exactly what will happen after that time, but we know that, praise be to God, that they're immortal because sin and death will be swallowed up in victory. All right? It's a lot to give you. And you can see why I kind of battled with this a little bit. But it's very, very vital in a sense that we see these companies in heaven, and praise be to God, they're present with the Lord, and the tabernacle of God is with men. Now let's go back to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, it tells us that these 12 tribes, these 12,000 are from each of the 12 tribes. I want to make note here as well too, Matthew 19:28 tells us that Jesus tells the apostles that each one of the 12 disciples will rule over each one of the 12 tribes, the 12 tribes, those groups of Jews at this time. So where people would think that, wait a second, the disciples, you know, they're going to have a bridal rank. No, that wasn't given to them. They'll have 12 thrones that are stated there. Jesus tells them very clearly. And those 12 thrones will rule over the 12 tribes. And you think about what a restoration this will be as Israel retakes her land and the beauty of the relationship between God and Israel is restored. It's going to be beautiful, isn't it? I thank the Lord how this comes about. But I want us to notice a few of the precious things about this 144,000 company. Mentioned a couple of them already. But they arrive in heaven almost in the middle of the tribulation, 1260 days, almost 3.5 years into there. And it says too, going back to Revelation 14, it says they're redeemed from among men. Isn't that wonderful how each one of the companies in heaven, God always talks about them being redeemed. See, you can't get there without the blood. That's what's so beautiful. It's always the blood. And I thank the Lord that even the 24 elders and the four living ones, as they say that together in Revelation 5:9, thou hast redeemed us. I love it. Redeemed us to God. And made us priests and kings unto God. See, there was more that they took, but they couldn't take a thing until they were redeemed. So we praise God for that. But each and every company talks about the wonderful salvation of the blood of Jesus. So again, we know human beings can only be redeemed. So we know that these are humans. They sing their own song. And again, notice where they sing this song. They sing the song before the throne. Very similar again to the innumerable multitude. They're not in the midst of the throne as the four living ones. It says that they follow the Lamb. The innumerable multitude follows the Lamb. And that refers to a childlike relationship there. And matter of fact, you know, the 144,000 are called the man-child. There's not a reigning with this company in a sense of the reigning that the four living ones will have. And then it's very important to note too, this is a company that is not out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. But brothers and sisters, this is Israel only, and only from the present time, and only alive ones, which makes this a very special company. And then finally, it says in verse 4, that this company, they were not defiled by women. And this is no offense to ladies, but this is speaking of, as it says here, about religious body. Whenever you hear defiled of women, when it's talking about it in this light, it's talking about how religion can defile people, talking about false things, talking about antichrist things. The great harlot of Revelation 17, it says that she seduces the kings and causes them to fornicate with her wickedness. But see, God protects this 144,000. They are not like this. They are whose husband is Jehovah. They are the wise virgins. Though in times past they were unfaithful, these are they which are restored and become, praise God, that wonderful, precious jewel to the Father. This is why they have both the Father and the Son written in their forehead. Christ is their head, but their Father's name signifies the company's special place as being separated to God the Father. In Hosea chapter 2, you'll read about how Israel was so unfaithful during all of this time, and yet God, who abides faithful always, that promise is fulfilled, and he brings them back. And praise be to God, it's going to be quite a wonderful, wonderful time, and I thank the Lord for it. Now, I want to touch on these two witnesses for just a moment here. And brothers and sisters, what a wonderful, sufficient witness this is going to be. And how God, so thankfully, is going to supply such rich truth and love to these two, and to stand and to withstand. And God will encourage them in their rank that they give. But again, the two witnesses, they give forth that gospel at this time. And it's going to be a time like none other that people so hate hearing the word of God. So what a wonderful witness will come forth through these. Now, a company that it happens to be the last company that the Bible implies will also hear the wonderful preaching of these two witnesses is this final company that we'll read of here, of the martyrs in chapter 15 of Revelation. So I'd like you to turn over there. And in 15, we'll read from chapter 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. So here we go. Right there we know that we're talking about the crystal sea that is before the throne of God. And we see this fire that's amongst it. So we see that there's great trial that has come out from this company. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the name, the number of his name, they stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. So wonderful to see the completion of what God has done with his saints and how he has brought them home. And brothers and sisters, this precious body of believers, this is the last ones to go home with Jesus. They come out of the great tribulation. Isn't it amazing how extensive God's grace is in such fiery and destructive times? And I really want to emphasize, notice they're standing on that sea. And we know that that sea of glass is before the throne. And you can see the fire, and it will say in another place, even mingled with blood of such great tribulation, such fiery and destructive times that this rank comes out, this company, I should say. And it's a rank that's similar, again, to the innumerable multitude as they're standing in a similar place. Their souls are under the altar. Let's turn over to Revelation 6. This is a special company, and God commends them so because, you know, he just loves his saints. And at this time that they take salvation, it's such a wicked time, and thank God for his great grace. But in Revelation chapter 6 and in verse 9, here's another vision of him. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. See, again, these martyrs, they're in heaven. They get their robes. They're on the sea. This is, again, very, very important to see that, again, this is the tabernacle of God. These are his precious saints, and he has brought them in, and this is his precious body. And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. It's so precious. You see that under the throne, again, it speaks of a lesser place than seated in the throne. But praise be to God, they're right there. These are the saints that the Antichrist himself even makes war with. You'll read that in Revelation 13:7. It says there that it was given unto him, that Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. It also says in 14:13 of Revelation, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now, I hope to simplify this just for a moment of who these saints really are. These are saints that are saved, brothers and sisters, during the tribulation time, but after the innumerable multitude is taken. See, ones that would be saved before the innumerable multitude is taken would be taken in the innumerable multitude. These ones are taken after the innumerable multitude is captured away into heaven. They come to Christ, if you can imagine this, during the great deep times of the tribulation, even into the great tribulation when the Antichrist is reigning. The Antichrist goes after them to destroy anything about the Lord from the earth. And they will be killed for the profession of Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And let me tell you something, it'll be an awful time. It'll be a horrible time. My goodness, brothers and sisters, God gives us so many reasons, but it's still only his Son and the love of it that'll get us out of here by his grace before any of it even breaks forth. But it'll be an awful time, like no other time on the earth. You talk about martyrdom, it'll be extreme. But I want you to notice, too, what's so wonderful here is the song that these ones sing. And it is, as we read back there in the 15th chapter, it's the song of Moses. and how encouraging that song of Moses is. Each one of the companies sings a song. Isn't that something? You ever thought about that? What song are you singing tonight? Huh? I'm thankful I know the song of salvation to our God. But I'm thankful that's not my song. I thank God that my song is, by His grace, I want to please Him. You understand? And see, glorified together with Him doesn't glorify me, it glorifies Him. You see? And I think you only get that by God's grace as you let the Holy Ghost just work that in your life. It's not to magnify me, it's all to magnify Him. To be a vessel to the praise of the glory of His grace is exactly what that means. It's to Him. It's to His grace. Everything was His workmanship. I had nothing to do with it, but I showed up and said, Jesus, do it all. Let God. Amen? And that's exactly how it happens. I'm so thankful to God that, Lord, I believe, Lord, I receive. It never changed. That's what's so beautiful. The beautiful story of Jesus and His faithfulness and the grace of God is it never changes. It is the grace of God. And as He tells us in the Word of God, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. So it's that double portion of grace. It is the grace for grace. It's, Lord, I need grace to take more grace, to grow in that grace, and to be completely dependent and confident in the grace of God. Believe it or not, you are dependent on grace. You may not be living that way, but there is a difference. Are you confident in the grace of God? See, the ones that will be confident in the grace of God will grow in that grace because you'll put your confidence in nothing else. You'll know that that grace is your always having all sufficiency in all things to superabound to every good work. You'll understand that those are the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. That everything I come into contact with and through my day, praise be to God, that's part of the before ordained good works. It really is. A lot of things we think they're grand and glorious things. My goodness, they're thoughts. Their breaths, their everything. Don't you think if His eye is on the sparrow, His eye is on you? When He says He knows the hair on your head, that's just the beginning. I know your thought afar off. I know your downsetting. I know your uprising. And this is what is so beautiful about this. It is the grace of God. And each one of these companies has a song. And I pray tonight, you're not going to get that song when you get there. You're singing that song right now. You really are. It's just like the true worshiper who worships Him in spirit and truth. You don't just become that there. He's searching for them now. That's why she's called a readied wife, not a readied bride. The wife hath made herself ready. Amen? She's ready to go. She's been instructed. She's been groomed. Praise be to God. She's ready to go before that king. Esther was fully ready. And as she was told, take nothing but what the chamberlain tells you to take. Nothing but. Don't take anything more. Don't take anything less. Just take exactly what the Holy Ghost gives you. And there's one thing that the Holy Ghost will give you, and that's the things of Christ. Give you nothing else. That's all He's here to testify of. That's all He is here to bring. Isn't that wonderful? Not religious thought, not man's wisdom, not my filthy works. Praise be to God, all the word of His grace. Aren't you grateful to God that He has grown you up in that? That He has protected you? That this, praise be to God, is what you want to hear? Amen. Because it pleases God. Praise the Lord, you are set apart to Him. You are sanctified, praise God. Because of the word of His grace. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides and it separates. And I'll tell you what, as you go on with it, my goodness, people will love you and you'll have a love that you can't explain. And people will hate you that you can't explain. They'll hate you without a cause because they hated Him. Amen. These are these things. Now, it isn't for us to be cantankerous. I don't want to go fighting with them. I want to seek peace with all men. Doesn't mean I'm compromising a thing, but I don't want to offend you. But I am going to live my life in Christ. I don't need to be hitting you over the head with a Bible. It's a privilege. You'll know someday I wrote something to somebody, and a man that I appreciate. We've become friends. Don't think he, I kind of think that he may even be an atheist. I don't know. But he read something that I wrote, and it was just, I don't even know. I said, Lord willing or God willing in it. I didn't think about even saying it. It's just how it flows. And I said, he said, well, you might not want to say that. And I said, well, I would never want to offend anybody, but that's just how it is. And I was thinking, someday you'll know. So, kind of makes you sad, doesn't it? But getting back to this and about that song, these martyrs, they sing the song of Moses. If you go back to Exodus 15, we won't go there tonight. But in Exodus 15, you'll read about that song of Moses. You'll hear the words in it. And it's so prophetic and it's so beautiful. The reverence and the awe of God and the prophecy that's even sung in that song about God's triumphant reign over all. That it's all going to be put in its place. And it will be. And that is the song of Moses that they sing. So I do want to summarize this tonight as we close this up. And once again, all of these companies that we've talked about, they are all seen in heaven. They all complete the tabernacle of God with men. The first company that is seen in heaven, that's the 24 elders, brothers and sisters. And I do want to emphasize this as well, too. I thank God for the light upon light that I see in the scriptures. I know that some people that really love the Lord and are following Paul as he followed Christ, there's difference in how they see these things, all right? Do I think it matters? Yes, I do. It's the Word of God. I thank God for what I see. I trust God that even if I be otherwise minded, He'll make that known unto me. But I want to search the scriptures to see that these things are so. And that's why I encourage you. And that's why some of the things that were brought out tonight, you do need to listen to again. They came pretty quick. I can't tell you about, as Ray talks about the fire hydrant a little bit. But seeing these companies and knowing that they're in heaven and then knowing what they'll be doing in their reignings and how each and every one of them will be touched by the earth in some way as well too. And knowing, matter-of-factly, who the ones are that will be the earth dwellers that go into the millennium and then how they live through the millennium. Those are, I think, important things because God in His Word tells us these things. Again, completes so much of the thought of man and how precious it is. But again, brothers and sisters, it's not something to get, in a sense, caught up into that becomes my sole wedge that I've got to just put into everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to get caught up into that to miss the one thing. He's coming, I want to rejoice in what He's provided. I want to rejoice and I know what's to come. But I do know too that even in wrapping this up tonight with these three companies, I know sovereignly that the Lord told me, honey, this study and this chapter is going to be done for now. This is enough. He wants us to run on. He wants us to focus and to love that appearing even more. I believe that by God's grace, as I told you, I think if we commence some more and the Lord has me to do Bible studies with you, we'll be in Romans. And we're going to be studying more of that precious justification and the wonderful glorification. And it's going to be mighty and we'll just trust Him with it. But as we close this, I do want to go back here. So we first see the 24 elders. They're the ones that are seen in heaven. We see that they are right there as it all opens up for John as he's taken up into heaven. The 24 elders, they're around the throne. They're full overcomers of the Old Testament. We know that they were the ones that were raised at the time of Matthew 27 when the Word of God tells us that some of the graves were opened of the saints at that time. It tells us not all of those graves were open. It just says some of them. And again, how Christ Jesus does this for us. He shows us that even in these different raptures, not all of the people go up at the same time. He was preparing us, wasn't he? Think about that. Even with Enoch, did he take everybody up or did he take Enoch? And why did he take Enoch? Because he walked with God. What's the difference of walking with God? You took the word. You believed it. He walked with God. God met him with the faith that he had. God's going to meet us with the faith that we have. And praise the Lord as we rejoiced on Sunday, as thou hast believed, be it done unto you. What's so hard to understand about that? I want to believe the whole counsel of God and be it done unto me. Amen. So I do believe this whole counsel of God, and as I'm loving his appearing all by his grace, I'll be in heaven at the first trump. I won't be going into the 7-year time. I don't need all those cans of food in my house. I don't need all that stuff. I'm so grateful to God that I'm looking for him to take care of me and not the Campbell Company with soup. But, you know, those are things that we need to pray for one another. And I don't mean to be ornery about it. I'm just being upfront in the Word of God with you about it. So you get your stakes too far down here, you'll be down here longer than you want to be down here. I'll assure you that. God help us to be living in Canaan now. But they received glorified bodies. These 24 elders, they received the glorified bodies at that time when some of those graves were open. And they're known also as the cloud of witness. You'll see that cloud of witness in 1 Thessalonians 4. They're called the cloud of witness in Hebrews 12, 1. You'll see that cloud of witness, which is so precious. They're the ones that are in the air with the Lord as the bridal company goes up to meet them. What a reunion. Isn't that wonderful? I just think it's so precious. And you know how we studied that, about how the priests were the ones that brought in the ark into the Holy of Holies. I love how all of that, it's just so perfect. So let's rejoice in how perfect that is. So there's your 24 elders, the full overcomers in the Old Testament. There they are in heaven. Then you had the four living ones, all right? Those are the full overcomer saints after Pentecost. Christ's bride, the ones that followed Paul as he followed Christ. And what do they receive? They receive the exalted crown or rank of righteousness, just as Paul does, as he says, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So praise be to God. And when do we see those precious four living ones? When do we see them? We see them at the first trump. We see them right at the beginning of the tribulation. They do not enter into it. We see that in Revelation chapter 3, where it talks about the Philadelphia company. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation or the tribulation that shall come upon the earth. So that Philadelphia company will be spared from that time. Now we also know that there will be ones that will be dead in Christ, ones such as Paul and Silas, many that, praise be to God, I do believe that we've known that have been in this meeting and have gone on before us, but yet they're waiting. And praise be to God, waiting to be raised and caught up together with them that are alive in the air forever to be with the Lord. And what a time we're looking for. So there, after that, then you have the innumerable multitude that comes out and is taken up after the tribulation has begun. Probably, you don't have an exact time on that, but somewhere between maybe the 1 and 2 year period of time into the tribulation time. And I want to emphasize something here that I did not bring out in the study on the innumerable multitude. The innumerable multitude, it says in Revelation 7, 9, out of every people, kindred, tongue, and nation. All right? Now, I want you to think about that. That's what was said for the innumerable multitude. All right? Now, going back and thinking about the 24 elders and the four living ones. They say that same thing too. Did you know that? In Revelation 5:9, they say, as we go, we'll just go over there real quick since we have just a little bit of time. It says in Revelation 5:9, and again, this is both two companies singing together. This is the four beasts and the 24 elders. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every people, kindred, tongue, and nation." All right? Now, the reason that those two companies can say that, brothers and sisters, the reason that they can is because you have Old Testament saints and you have New Testament saints. All right? So that word "every," when it says every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, that's a word in the Greek that is all-inclusive, every, from beginning to end of what it's talking about in its completeness, okay? So what I'm getting at here is of those, we're talking from Adam, Old Testament full overcomers from the time of Adam. We're talking ones like an Abel, talking ones like an Enoch, those ones, obviously, all the way to the time of the rapture of the bride. That's why it can say, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. You see what I'm saying there and how the Word of God brings that forth? That's why it's so important to see the 24 elders as they are, that full overcomer, Old Testament believers. If you didn't see that and you thought that maybe they're all in the New Testament times, you can't get every kindred, tongue, people, and nation out of New Testament. You have to have the Old Testament as well too. See how beautiful that is? It's pretty, isn't it? Word of God is pretty. Now, let's go over here to the innumerable multitude. It says the same thing. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that the Word of God, and as it's brought forth, and I believe as you look at Scripture in this, you'll see that these are ones in the innumerable multitude all the way back again from the time of Adam all the way up to the time of the capturing away of the innumerable multitude. The difference between those two, in a sense, groups of people is that the first ones, the 24 elders, and the four living ones, they took God's best that was offered to them at that time. You see? They were the ones that took the better resurrection that was offered to them. See, even in Hebrews, it says that they obtained a better resurrection. All right? And what was the better resurrection that was offered to the Old Testament full overcomers? It was the resurrection of Matthew 27. Some of the graves were opened. Amen. How beautiful. And praise be to God. That's why the four living ones, they participated along with them in their better resurrection, which was the first trumpet rapture. So how beautiful that those companies of saints, they took the best. They hit the mark for the prize that was offered to them. Now the four living ones, it's the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that precious? But it is something to see that even in the four living ones, what happened to those ones that missed the mark in the Old Testament, that did not hit the mark in a sense of the full overcomers, whoever they were. All right? I can think of some names, but you know what? At the same time, that's for God to give, so I'm going to let him do that. But I know that they all didn't hit that because it says some of the graves were open. Well, when were they and how were they? Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation in your innumerable multitude. Now, that's what I'm going to say to that. I don't think there's anything more to go into for that group. If there's discussion that would like to happen, I'm happy to. As we search the Word of God, I love that. It's wonderful to go in and seek more of that. So there's your third company. Your fourth company is that 144,000, that Jewish remnant. We see them in chapter 14, standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb. What a wonderful picture. Isn't that beautiful? I love to see that. I have some Jewish friends. I'd love to see them singing it right now. And in a way, I know some of them haven't accepted Christ as Savior. And I just ask the Lord, if it be so, let them be part of the 144 if they don't get it now. But I just love them so much. And then you have the two witnesses of chapter 11. We see them, as the Lord tells us there so sweetly in chapter 11, as they're, you know, caught up with the Lord, and it says that they're given that precious place in heaven. It's wonderful, and their enemies see them go. And then finally, the souls under the altar of chapter 15, that's the ones that are saved after the innumerable multitude is taken up, and then those ones are killed by the authority of the Antichrist during the part of the last of the great tribulation. Now, I pray to God this has encouraged you. I do. And I pray that this will be something that you see how perfect and simple it really is, because it is. There's a simplicity in the gospel of Christ. It's complete. What we talked about tonight is the first resurrection. And brothers and sisters, there are no gaps. There are no seams. It's perfect when it's taken line upon line. Every man will be in his own order. The tabernacle of God is with men. And what a mighty fortress is our God. And it's just absolutely perfect. And it's absolutely wonderful. And praise be to God. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand and be dismissed.